I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Today, protecting and appreciating Cape Cod. Coming up, Robert Finch talks about his new book, The Outer Beach, A Thousand-Mile Walk on Cape Cod's Atlantic Shore, which chronicles his 50-year relationship with Cape Cod's Atlantic beaches. But first, we sit down with Andrew Gottlieb, the new executive director of the Association to Preserve Cape Cod, or APCC. Welcome. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you again.
All right, so some of our listeners may be familiar with your work over the last three decades in environmental protection, most recently as the executive director of the Cape Cod Water Protection Collaborative, but you were also chief of the Mass Office of Commonwealth Development, where you coordinated the state's environmental, energy, housing, and transportation policies. And prior to that, you worked at the Mass Department of Environmental Protection, where you developed an estuaries preservation program. So I'm thinking of all these past experiences, which were a lot with water quality, but how is this experience influencing the direction of the APCC going forward?
Well, I mean, at least for me personally, APCC was always an organization that I found appealing. Our family's been a member. The organization's turning 50 next year. I think we were early members. So I've always been aware of it and thought that the platform that APCC offers, which is to advocate on behalf of regional environmental issues, was a fascinating one. And for me, the ability to sort of move through different government sectors, do some of my own work on small business consulting for the last decade, and then move over to the nonprofit sector was a natural progression. In terms of what we're going to be doing at APCC, I think that a lot will stay the same. I think you'll see a little bit greater emphasis on advocating more aggressively on the water quality protection side. I think a lot of really good work has been done at the county and local levels to get in the position to be ready to do something. And that last step is often the hardest one. Mm-hmm. And I think that organizations such as ours can provide both a technical resource and political backing that communities are going to need to engage their voters in a way that results in spending the significant amounts of money that are going to be necessary to restore water quality.
That's the key, the significant amounts of money. People don't like to hear that part of it.
No, they don't. But, you know, this is one of those instances where the cost of doing nothing really does mm-hmm. exceed the price of remediation and mitigation. And everything that we – and you've heard me say this before in different times and wearing different hats – but everything we have on Cape Cod is predicated on the understanding that our water quality is good, be it drinking water, be it estuarine water quality or beach or pond water mm-hmm. quality. And so we all have a common and shared interest in making sure that we deal with those issues.
And we should say all three are threatened.
They are threatened by different factors. Mm-hmm. They share some similarities and some differences. But collectively, they determine our well-being economically and environmentally.
So water quality, of course, huge, as you're mentioning, huge issue for us. So what is the role of the APCC in educating the public about the issues that impact water quality? As we're mentioning, there are many factors that deal with estuaries, with freshwater, with the ocean. And there are people paying attention, but there's a lot of people in the jump up who just kind of, you know, aren't really even aware of how they're contributing to that.
Right. We try, at APCC, we try and function at multiple levels. You know, we try and draw attention to the broader issues and the bigger issues through mass media, through working with our town leaders, managing discussions with the press. And that, I think, brings a certain degree of understanding. We also, through our membership, provide information that brings a lot of the things people can do down to a very granular level. We run a lot of workshops on what people can do in their own yards, in their own lives, to lower the impact that they would have on the environment. We run programs on native plants, which can result in a more robust local environment, use less water, use less pesticides, use fewer fertilizers, and still have very attractive and natural-looking landscapes. We work with people on, you know, what they can do to manage stormwater and rain gardens. And we're actually in the middle of a investment in our own facility. We recently relocated to Dennis. We have a nice old house that we use as an office, but also has grounds on it that we're using as a living laboratory, where we're demonstrating on site native plantings, rain gardens. We can bring people in, start to show them how it could work in a traditional Cape Cod residential setting. And we've also got an old barn on the property, which we're in the process of raising the funds necessary to renovate, turn into a net zero environmental impact resource restoration center that provides room for our staff, laboratory space, staging space, and meeting space where we'll be able to bring people in, hold seminars, serve as a regional resource for other organizations that are looking for meeting space. And so we're really trying to engage people at a very localized level, starting with their yard, and show them that a lot of the things that we can do can still give them the type of residential feel that they want, but have a much lower impact on the environment.
866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Working with the towns can be difficult sometimes. I mean, you know, towns are, let's just take water quality, for example. Towns are at different levels as far as addressing that issue. And sometimes towns like to kind of go it alone. Well, here in our town, we're going to do this. And really, you want to try to get more collaboration, right? More towns working together, as water doesn't know a town boundary.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. A lot of the work that was done by the Cape Cod Commission, some really cutting edge work over the last several years for the region-wide water quality management plan, often called shorthand as the 208 plan, does emphasize towns working together for a variety of good reasons. One being that, as you mentioned, the water does not respect the municipal boundaries. There are boundaries, geographic boundaries called watershed boundaries that determine where waters flow into a particular water body, so that what happens on the land surface at a certain point in a town or a cluster of towns ultimately drains down to one of our many estuaries. And that's the management unit we need to work on. And for the most part, with a few exceptions, those boundaries cross town lines. And so from a intelligent management perspective, we want to not focus on the town boundaries, but really focus on the watershed boundaries. The other aspect that supports that perspective is that the towns working together can come up with lower cost solutions to maintaining water quality than they can on a go-it-alone basis. Mm-hmm. And so one of the fundamental tenets of the region-wide water quality plan is the assumption that towns will take the most economic and efficient solution and put it into place as a way of containing costs. And so that does require towns to work together. I also wear a municipal hat. It is not necessarily our natural inclination to look over the border to work with our neighboring communities, but we're figuring out how to do it. I think the role that APCC can play in that is to add to the voices that are out there and the regulatory emphasis is out there, the funding emphasis is out there, by reaching out through our membership base to educate the public about what are the issues at stake on water quality? What are the best ways and most environmentally responsible ways for us to deal with those problems and to help create the political environment that will allow towns to move forward with the issue first order? And secondly, we'll set an informed expectation among the voters that, well, why aren't we working with the town next door? And it may be that a town or two may take an effort to go it alone, and their voters may say, well, that's not the thing that makes the most sense. Go back and figure out a better way to do it. Some towns have had that experience over the last couple of years. We're seeing more region-wide collaboration. Mashpee, Sandwich, Barnstable are working on a shared agreement around managing the wastewater load in Papanesset Bay. You saw progress in Harwich at their town meeting the other night to do a joint plan with Chatham. That's going before Chatham town meeting in the next several days. And you're seeing Barnstable and Yarmouth talking together. You're seeing Yarmouth and Dennis talking together. So it's coming.
So it's working. Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah. These are challenging times for environmental protection efforts on several fronts: public awareness, federal funding cuts, climate change. Thoughts on this challenge ahead addressing in these times?
Well, I think, you know, you can look at what's happening nationally, and the message is fairly clear. You know, you're seeing, regardless of how you feel about who's in power and who's not, there is a step back from the degree of environmental protection that has been the norm historically from the federal government. There's certainly a change in the tenor of the discussion around climate change. And I think in many respects, the way I look at it is the message is that we're on our own. And in some respects, you know, it can be despairing. In other respects, I think the CAPE communities have demonstrated an ability to take on their local challenges. I think governance, by and large, at the local level, works on Cape Cod. Voters and elected officials, regardless of their view on a lot of issues, have demonstrated time and time again they know how to talk to one another. We can still have these kind of conversations. And so I think that the thing to do, if you're so inclined, is push back on the federal rollbacks, but don't allow yourself to become so distracted by that that you lose the focus on doing what we can do locally. Mm-hmm. People can continue to engage with their municipalities and their municipal officials. And organizations like ours and others that are out there, I think, should continue to and will continue to do the basic science research that's needed, improve our understanding of what's happening in the global environment and how it affects us locally. And as we have at APCC through for a number of years, continue to invest our time and energy into the development of locally based solutions that help mitigate the impacts of the changes that we're seeing. You don't have to agree necessarily on the causes or why certain things are happening, but it's pretty hard to argue the fact that our weather patterns are changing, our storm patterns are changing, sea level is higher, we're seeing increased erosion, and there's no real value to doing nothing while you argue about why some of these things are happening. And so we are going to continue our work on salt marsh restoration, for example, as a primary means of mitigating storm surge and the effects of sea level rise, mm-hmm. so that towns have the ability to look at work that's being done locally, see the benefits of it. We're working with a number of towns to help them implement projects, and hopefully we'll be able to do enough as an organization to help make a meaningful impact on the mitigation of some of the changes mm-hmm. that we're seeing.
We're talking a little about water quality, but also APCC works a lot on land preservation and smart growth. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, some of the challenges that we see on the Cape are a direct result of how we've developed over the years. And some well-intentioned strategies to mitigate development impacts, larger lots and the like, have in fact contributed to some of the challenges that we face. The need to drive everywhere, the lack of walkable village centers with a few historic exceptions, the high cost of connecting widely separated properties to water and sewer lines are a direct result of what our development patterns have been. And there are certain limitations under state law that make it difficult for communities to implement better land use management controls that will improve walkability, will improve the ability to concentrate development in areas where it's appropriate, where perhaps it's been historic, or where a community would want to see its additional growth, so that you can have lower transportation demands, lower water and sewer infrastructure costs, and prevent some of the loss and degradation of larger remaining tracts of the environment through sprawl type development. So, we support a lot of the work the Cape Cod Commission's doing on regional policy plan that addresses some of these issues, and we're also one of the main players in an effort to provide a long overdue revamp of the state zoning laws. And we've had good support from our legislative delegation on that. It passed the Senate last year, and we'll see what happens in the coming year.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Cape Cod Restoration Coordination Center. What's the role there?
Well, as I mentioned, that's we have the opportunity to renovate a historic barn on our site on 6A and Dennis. And we'd really like to make that barn a focal point of environmental education and demonstration for local officials, the general public, and other environmental advocacy organizations. You know, we're looking at turning that space into, you know, a net zero impact building, you know, solar, and we'll be using alternative water and wastewater treatment methodologies, so that not only can we use the space, but we can show people
how to do
how to do it, and that you can do it in a way that not only is it not not a detriment to your property value, but it's, but in many ways it's an enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the landscaping techniques and the ways to lower the impact of a building or its reliance on the electric grid or its impact on wastewater flows are actually, once people have the ability to see and touch and feel them, quite appealing.
Yeah.
And so we're looking to use the Resource Center as a way to bring that those points home to people.
Andrew Gottlieb is the new executive director of the Association to Preserve Cape Cod. Thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll chat again soon about your efforts at APCC.
We'd love to be back. Thank you for the time.
Coming up, Robert Finch talks about his book, The Outer Beach, A 1,000-Mile Walk on Cape Cod's Atlantic Shore.